is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Lots of guests tonight as North Shore Sports Night returns on MSONewsSports.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Been out shoveling all day and using the snowblower on the machine. My hands are still vibrating. I feel like I'm shaking still. But the weather has calmed down. A little icy here on the North Shore and some cold weather for the overnight. But you know what? It is New England, so there you go. Give you the lineup here for tonight as we get through the evening. Tim Kearns will be along via radio. Tim is my co-host since, I want to say 2006, I believe, or 2005, somewhere back in that era. But we've been doing this for quite a while, and we're really happy to be doing it on the Internet. And if you like it, or if you have suggestions about who we could interview or other things about the program, just email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. The news and sports are put together with one S, so it's news sports or news sports. Trying to be clever, and I don't think it worked out. But anyway, here we are. Okay, tonight we're going to talk some hockey. We're going to talk some basketball and some local sports, of course, as we always do, mostly focusing on high school sports, but then every now and then stepping out into other areas. John Gigliotti will be our first guest tonight. Coach Gigliotti is the coach of the North Reading boys hockey team, and they are just doing phenomenal right now, and they are really high, ranked very high in Massachusetts Division II, Eastern Massachusetts Division II hockey. So we'll talk to Coach Gigliotti about how the boys are doing and other stuff as well, and see what the schedule is like. I know that they played Newburyport on Saturday, and I believe they won by a goal in that one. So we got that coming up. We've covered North Reading a couple of times. The Hornets are 13-1-2 overall, just playing a spectacular hockey. And, yeah, they beat Newburyport 2-1 over the weekend. We'll also talk with Frank Pagliuca. Coach Pagliuca is the coach of the St. Mary's girls hockey team. They also are doing very well. We'll see what's going on down at St. Mary's and Lynn. We'll also be talking with another Lynn sports figure, Athletic Director Dick Newton over at Lynn English High School. Talk about things that have gone on that have been in the news, of course, and other things as well. And the Lynn Jets doing very well. We'll check out basketball, too, with Coach Newton, Dick Newton, the AD, down at Lynn English. And we'll finish it up with Nick Kukru, the sports editor of the Gloucester Times. Get a read from him on all things Cape Ann, Cape Ann sports-wise. And then we'll also be talking with Tim. Tim Kearns will be around in the second half hour, and I'm going to leave it up to Tim to decide what he wants to talk about and clean out the sports attic, as they say. Lots to talk about, and we really haven't, Tim and I haven't really discussed the Patriots' incredible win. I watched it again last night. I watched the entire game last night. By the way, they won again. And I think the thing that struck me last night, it's probably the third time I've seen the fourth quarter in the overtime. It's the second time I've seen the entire second half. And I think the thing that struck me last night that I really hadn't seen before, obviously, you think about it, and you've seen it so many times with Tom Brady, used to see it with Bobby Orr and Larry Bird, and even Dave Collins, is that guys like that, when they become focused, their eyes sort of look like shark's eyes. They just see everything, and it's really scary. But what struck me last night was not only that. I mean, I saw that during the game live. But last night, it just seemed as though you're looking at this, and it's you already know that they won, that they already did pull out the win. But watching Brady and watching the other guys on the Patriots, it's as though they knew that they had already won while they're going through it. And that I hadn't seen before, quite understood before. But you watch Brady and, you know, drop pass, didn't bother him, fourth down, fourth and three, no worries. Even the defense late in the game, giving up a lot of yardage to Atlanta coming down the field, and you know, before Atlanta started going backwards, just remarkable how the focus is. And I guess there's a lesson for everyone in that. My wife says, you know, never give up, and just stay focused. I guess keep your eye on the prize, keep doing it. I was really kind of amazed by that last night, just seeing that attitude that the players had during the game, as though they knew that they had already won the game, like I did last night watching the game after I knew they had already won. You follow me? I don't know. I'll ask Coach Kearns anyway. Anyway, that's the lineup for tonight. We'll get to our first guest in just a moment. Hope that you will pass the word and say hello to us, msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com, with comments, complaints, compliments, or suggestions, any of that. We also will be having more live hockey games and basketball games coming up, too. Not going to be doing a hockey game this weekend. We'll get back at it next week for sure. And basketball, we've got the state tournament coming up, so we'll be focusing on that as well. So that's the story here. Be sure to check out our website every day. We think we've got something unique going on here in that it's not only sports on the North Shore, but it's also news. And we do our interviews with the express purpose of letting people talk in their own voice. I mean, that's the whole idea, especially with the radio information, the radio interviews. And, of course, Bill in particular gets many, many, many of those terrific post-game videos with the coaches and the players and all the players all over the North Shore. So please browse the website if you haven't, if this is your first time checking in, or if you know somebody else who is interested in sports and news in the area, and maybe you could point to us and show them that we do things a little bit differently. Okay, so we will take our first break of the evening, come back with Coach Gigliotti of North Reading right after our first little information break. We'll be right back.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, I don't know why I have such a hard time with Coach Gigliotti's name, but Coach, welcome, North Reading Hockey Coach. Welcome to MSO again, Coach.
How you doing, Rick? Nice to be here.
Doing well. And, you know, once again, we look up the scores. We see that you guys are just cruising along, 13-1-2. Another run-of-the-mill game against Newburyport over the weekend?
No, it's. I don't think that's possible when you play Newburyport. You know, they're always come to play. You know, their record, I don't think, fully represents the type of team that they are. And it was a nail-biter. You know, we got the breaks at the end, and we walked out with a good victory.
You know, that's quite a rivalry. I want to get to some of the stats that you guys have. But the Newburyport rivalry 2-1 in this one, and you beat them earlier in the season. What was that, 1-0 or something like that?
It was a 0-0 tie against them.
0-0. Okay, so that's the second. You've had two of those this year?
Yeah, we played, exactly, yeah. Yeah, actually, we were undefeated at the time, so that was our first blemish on our record, the 0-0 tie.
You know, I can't remember those in high school hockey, and I know there's not a lot of them, but Those are as special as they seem to be? Because when you see a 0-0 game, there's a lot of probably missed opportunities, a lot of great opportunities, but a lot of terrific play as well.
Yeah, I mean, we typically pride ourselves on our defense. We do a really good job, keeping the puck controlled in our own zone, and our defensemen have just been great this year, along with our goaltending. I guess we've been very opportunistic with our goal scores, so we haven't really, won many games by scoring a ton of goals. So when it's a 0-0 game or a 1-1 game, it's been pretty much the way we've been kind of rolling all year long.
Well, we've seen you guys a couple times, and even though not large scores, the game I saw in particular, the Gloucester game, you seem to be in control. And I think again, you mentioned that the team defense. It's got to be astounding. Tell me a little bit about your team defense, because let me just tell people about your record. 16 games overall, 13-1-2. 16 games and you've allowed 13 goals. But in the Capan League, it's even more amazing. 11 games played, you're 9-0-2. 7 goals allowed in 11 games. So tell me about that. And I mean, everybody's got to be coming back helping out.
Yeah, I mean, we pride ourselves on that. It's pretty much every team has an identity, and that's been our identity. And our defense just does not include the guys who are at the blue line. We stress an awful lot of making sure that kids come back, and we work an awful lot on our defensive zone coverage as well as our offense. We actually try to get some offense from our defense, mm-hmm. and we've been successful so far. So it's been a system that everyone has bought into, and it's been great. And then when there have been breakdowns, our goaltender John Day has just been lights out, and he's been shutting the door. So it's really the key to our success this year is just how we've been playing defensively.
Okay, so I'm going to ask an impossible question, because everybody wants that, Coach. Everybody wants that. Everybody wants the guys coming back, getting out of the... How do you do it in high school? Because it's something that you say the kids buy into it. It's something that I think probably that they've got to check their egos at the door, don't they?
Yeah, and I'm very fortunate, and I have a great group of kids. They're all equal, and that's kind of how we are. Our leading scorers aren't lighting it up, at the beginning of the year we talked to the team, and we had a team meeting in which we figured out that we're returning 10 goals from last year's team. We graduated 5 of our top 6 forwards, and we had a couple of kids transfer out. So there was a lot of points that weren't in the lineup this year. So, mm-hmm. Early on we recognized and we knew that, in order for us to be successful, we're really going to have to work hard at it. And I've been asking them. I just said, the only thing I'm going to ask you guys is to push back, because I'm going to continue to push. And the pushback has been there all year. I guess it's just the formula has just been great leadership, too. Our three captains, John Marullo, Ty Collins, and James Doran, have been just fantastic leaders, and the kids have all bought into it.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Coach, who influenced you in terms of your coaching style? Who did you study? I know it's an ongoing process, but every coach I know, you got your own things that you want to do, but other guys have given you some ideas along the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess the key to coaching is that I've been involved in it for over 25 years at every level, from learn to play to mites to squirts to high school to college and now back to high school, and throughout the years and throughout the different times of serving as an assistant coach, you pick up some things along the way. I guess the two people that I think have meant most to me have been he's actually a football coach over at Austin Prep High School, Bill Maraday. He was a teacher and a coach at St. Dominic Savio, where I attended when I was there as a player, and then I coached with him at hockey there. And then, he's just been a big influence on me and in my life, actually. So he's someone that I always look up to and have taken a lot of his methods and messages from him and apply it to my team. And the other person is my dad. He's always been there for me.
Oh yeah.
For ever since I've been, you know, putting skates on. He's a coach himself. Recently retired, and now he attends my games. He comes to his grandson, my son who plays at Reading High. He comes to his games, and so. He's still coaching, you know, he coaches me, and he gives me suggestions and tips, as well as my grandkids, his grandkids, my kids.
Yep.
So it's so those two guys right there, I think, have meant the most to me.
That's fantastic. Sounds like you've been blessed, Coach.
Yes, very, 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 very lucky. You know, as I mentioned, I have three boys. My son, my oldest, Jack, plays at Reading. And then my middle guy, Charlie, is a freshman. I'm playing junior varsity this year. And my son, Sam. He's a seventh grader, so I've been involved with their life ever since they started this game.
That's wonderful. And,
it's busy bouncing around from rink to rink. I have, my beautiful bride helps us along the way, and so it's I guess we're considered a hockey family, but it certainly makes the winters go by.
Well, some of the days I'm sure drag, and you're exhausted at the end of them. But you're right, the winter goes by so fast, and so do the years. You're going to blink, Coach, and they're all going to be out of school. It goes so fast.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's great. I'm the luckiest guy.
Excellent.
On the face of the earth. I always say that I have. I'm coaching the sport that I love. I'm at a high school, which is fantastic, and a team that's great, and then personally, my own family is all. Involved with the sport, and everyone's doing well. So things are good. Not a lot to complain about.
Fantastic. You mentioned Dom Savio. Now, I don't know if you know Tim Kearns. Tim is not here tonight. He's our special sports analyst. He used to be a baseball coach up in Gloucester, and he's going to be retiring from teaching this year. But he played baseball at Savio, but I'm guessing you guys probably didn't cross paths.
I was 19. I'm very old. I was 1986 graduate. I'm not sure when Tim was there.
It was way before that, Coach.
Yeah, I'm assuming. But,
okay.
Special bond at St. Dominic Savio, and then he may have been there when they changed the name to Savio Prep, but maybe not. But the school is no longer there. It was a, but it was a, it's just a special place, and we actually had our 30th. Reunion recently, and it was very well attended, and just seeing the kids there, and now the men, but we were all still talk about the good old days at Savio, and that's kind of what really I use an awful lot of the Savio way actually with North Reading now.
That's
with
cool.
With my team, so it's been pretty successful in that regard.
All right, I'm not going to ask you about objectives, because I asked that of Marblehead coach Bob Jackson last year, and I thought he was going to shoot me. So, you're coming down the stretch, only a couple games left, so I presume, with the tournament on hand, you guys are tuning up and making sure all your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed, and so on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun year, Rick. We've had some, success, and it's continued on. I'll tell you what I tell my team. It's, so to really just not to look too far ahead. And, our message all year has been, let's not worry about winning the game right now. Let's not worry about winning the period. Let's just worry about winning our next shift.
Mm-hmm.
And you go over the wall and you come back, and if you won that shift, and the next line goes ahead and does the same thing, and hopefully you string a whole bunch of those together, and you'll have some success at the end of the period, and hopefully that's going to equate to a victory at the end of the game. And if it doesn't, then you did the best. So it's not looking too far ahead. I mean, the Division II state tournament is going to be wide open, and there's a lot of good hockey teams that are out there. And we're just looking forward to continue to do the things that gave us the success thus far in the year, and hopefully push us, forward throughout the tournament.
Well, I know with that win every shift mantra, watching the Patriots do what they did the other night, every kid has got to think who's in sports. Okay, coach is right. I got to just get out there and doing the best I can right now. Whatever the sport is, just do the best you can at your at bat or whatever it is and see what happens.
Yeah, it's an interesting sport. It's it's not an easy sport, and it's not a it's a sport that you have to. I always feel you have to. You can't be comfortable in it, and you have to work hard. And you know, at the end of those 45 minutes, you know, you should not be feeling great. You should be exhausted. You give it your all. And if you've done that, your head will hit the pillow at night. Whether it's a win or a loss, you'll sleep well. And that's the most important message. As long as they give everything they have, it's 20 games, it's 3 months, it's 12 weeks, it's and it goes pretty quick. And, you know, you ask any senior in any lineup, and then I'm sure they'll tell you the same.
Oh yeah. Now, how far is Kasabuski from North Reading?
The rink, you mean?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a home rink this year. It's been actually pretty good to us. You know, we've got one, you know, one loss there all year. It's our only loss, but other than that, it's been really good. So, you know, it's, you know, to us, I mean, high school hockey, it's sometimes, if you don't have your own rink, most schools don't, you're in transit and you're all over the place. So, you know, I mean, for me, it's got frozen water, two blue lines, and a red line right down the middle. That's all we need.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty much how it's been all year.
Hey, listen, I remember pond hockey, and I miss it still. Finally, Coach, last thing, you got Linfield coming up, and that game is on Wednesday night. What do you see from them?
You know, it's our last league game, and, you know, they're good, just like every team in our league. I feel the Cape Ann League is one of the strongest high school hockey leagues in the state. And, you know, so they're going to be ready to play. Like I said, it's our last league game of the year, and it's the town's biggest rival, and, so it's going to be at their place. So, it should be a fun, spirited game, and again, I'm hoping that the boys can just kind of do what they've been doing all year, and if they do, then hopefully the success will come our way.
No doubt about it. Coach, we'll check in with you during the tournament, and best of luck, and thanks for taking the time to talk with us tonight. Appreciate it.
Not a problem, Rick. Thank you for having me.
Take care, John. All right, that is Coach John Gugliotti, who is the hockey coach at North Reading High School. Great guy. Of course, his dad, very famous sports person on the North Shore and in Eastern Massachusetts. North Shore in Eastern Massachusetts. I got the Mark Wahlberg R thing going, I guess. All right, quick break. We'll come back and check in with Lynn English Athletic Director Dick Newton. You're listening to MSO News Sports on, let's see, this is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. I'll get it straight eventually. We'll be right back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Okay.
All right, here we go. All right, we're back now with Lynn English Athletic Director Dick Newton. Dick, how are you doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you doing, all right?
Very well. Oh, I'm a little sore, man. I've been out there shoveling, you know. You have to do
how
that.
How to check snow.
Huh?
How to check snow.
Did you have to, you got to take care of clear it out at home, do you?
I have my wife do most of it.
Well, I'll tell you, incentive. My daughter's a senior in high school. She has a car. Okay, that's an incentive to get out and shovel now, if you catch my drift.
To get it out, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I do get some help that way. All right, Dick, my car is on my mind, and I apologize for that. But let's get right to it. The effect, what's the latest at Lynn English, and how is sports life and academic life adapting over there at Lynn English?
It was a tough first half of the year. Mike was sick coming in. He got sick back in March when I came back from the athletic director's convention. I got a call that he was in Mass General and that it was real serious. They didn't know if he was going to make it then. And then he got better and he came in. He sat down with me and asked me, you know, what I thought. And I said, if you're healthy enough to coach, that'd be a great thing. He said he wanted to do it. And, you know, he went as far as he could.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I talked to him, he said it wasn't the cancer that was killing him, it was the chemo.
Yeah.
It did a job on his lungs, and that's what eventually
That's what essentially got him. But the kids, you know, the kids are bouncing back now. A couple of the kids, you know, were very, the seniors especially, you know, a couple of them took it very, very, very hard. But, you know, life is going on.
Yep.
His best friend is the acting coach now, Steve Stranahan. He's doing a good job, and we're moving forward.
Well, I know that I'm an older guy now, and I taught for 40 years, and you see things and you learn things. And I know that one of the things I'm sure that helped Coach Carr down the road was his relationship with the kids. And you mentioned some of the kids who were really moved by that, and they're probably still in a lot of pain. But I will guarantee you that helped Coach Carr, get through and eventually, move on.
Yeah, he sat with the kids more, I think, this year, talking with them and explain what was going on, and you know, he had it mapped out on who would be in charge if he couldn't make it to the games.
Mm-hmm.
We saw his kids grow up at the school. I mean, his kids go to Peabody High, but they, you know, they were there, they've been there for 10 years, and we've seen them since they were little kids. And his son is who's a freshman at Peabody High School is in my daughter's class, one of the history class, and you know, and he. You know, it's been tough. Like I said to the kids, you know, we have to move on. We have to, you know, you can play for him.
Mm-hmm.
That can be part of the incentive of the season to make the tournament and to have something extra to go by.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm sure there are some terrific memories. And Coach, moving on, tell us about Coach Stranahan.
Coach Stranahan, he's a great guy. He's Mike Carr's best friend. He went to Curry College. He was coaching mainly because I guess he was Mike's best friend. He had very little basketball experience, but he's got good guys with him. He's got Ronnie Young with him, who's been coaching at the school for 15 years. He's got Trevon Barry Rogers with him, who played at English, was a very, very good player. Went to Merrimack, started at Merrimack. He's come back and he helps out too. So, you know, between Tom Smiley, who coaches the freshman squad, between the four of them, I'm there every day with them, and they're doing a very good job.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Dick, we're talking with Dick Newton, the Lynn English Athletic Director, and Coach, I talked with Joe Conlon last week, coaching Lynn Jets hockey. And how's the situation working out with the combined schools playing hockey? Because they got a hell of a team.
They do a very, very, very good team. The population of hockey players in Lynn has slowly been getting smaller and smaller every year. And, you know, I think we have like four, five, six kids playing on the team from English.
Hmm.
All good kids, mm-hmm. all good students. And, you know, classical same way. You know, I think Tech has one kid playing for him. But, you know, Joe does a great job. He's a very, very good friend of mine. He's always on top of his game, and he's got those kids playing pretty well. They got a great goalie in Jack, and so you know I think the future is more co-ops,
mm-hmm.
with sports that are losing players maybe to private schools, or the population shift in Lynn has changed, so you'll see Lynn English and Lynn Classical probably co-op in the future in a few different sports.
Well, that's scaring the hell out of other schools in the area, man.
it really shouldn't, because if you have to co-op, that means the everything's getting smaller. You know, I mean, you know, you take hockey for instance. It took a while for the Jets to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Because once the kids start to leave, and that's what happened with hockey. Once the kids start to go to St. Mary's, or they go to the prep, or they go private, it takes a while to build it back, and that's what we had to do. And Joe was the right guy for the job, absolutely. And Billy Devon, the classical AD,
mm-hmm.
did a great job with the hockey side of it. This is my first year as the AD, so I'm getting he's kind of helped me out a lot with that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because I know Julie Smith, it's her first year in Gloucester, and there's some other new guys too. And what's that fraternity like? Do the ADs tend to help each other out, or they kind of keep the notebooks close to closed on the desk?
Well, I think certain ADs are more helpful. I think other guys stick with their towns because it's a small atmosphere, and they don't. You take Phil Sheridan from Peabody; he's very, very, very helpful. Kind of took me under his wing and helped me out. Gary Malaya, who I replaced, mm-hmm. has helped me out tremendously. You know, Billy Devins helped me. You know, these guys have all, you know, because you have to work together because you're rescheduling stuff and you can't be at odds with each other. You got to always help each other out and try and make things work for everybody. It's for the benefit of the league. That's the main thing. We got four new teams coming in, and those guys are pretty good too.
Well, I want to get to that. We're going to talk more on that. I think probably at the end of summer. But what about the other sports at the school? You got a new softball coach, I understand.
We have a new softball coach, Kara Crowley. She played at our school. She was a very good player. She was a quarterback of the Powder Puff team. She knows softball. She was a catcher. Played at St. Anselm's for a year, then went over and played at Salem State for three, and did very well. And we're very, very, very glad to have her on the staff. We like, you know, when we have jobs open, we first look at, you know, if a lineless person is applied. We like to see, you know, if they're hireable, and we like to go that way. And she was the perfect person for the job. We're hoping that's one of the sports that we're hoping that that she can bring back.
How are your other sports doing this winter?
Not bad. You know, we hired a new girls basketball coach, Mackenzie Charles, and he's done a great job with them. They won five or six games, and they've been lost games by 2-3 points, and they've been every single game. And he's brought interest back to girls basketball, which is very good. And that's no slight to the former coaches, but Mackenzie's doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The tracks, we always have, you know, we have a hard time getting kids off the track sometimes because we have a lot of one sport wonders that, you know, they only want to play one sport in our school. But Don Walsh has done a great job as the indoor track, and Brenda Martin, she's a Hall of Famer, and she was the first girl to ever run a boys track team in Lynn. And back in the 70s, and she always does a great job getting girls out, and we're very successful. I feel very successful in track.
Well, it sounds like things are on the upswing. You're getting more and more kids involved in this stuff.
Well, that's the goal. The goal, you know, when I was interviewed for the job, they said, how do you get kids interested? How do you get kids out? And I think the bottom line is you need to connect with the kids. You need to bring the kids in. You need to talk with them. You need to you have assistant coaches that are head coaches in other sports so they can get the kids to come out for their sport and make kids two or three sport athletes. That's, you know, the wave now with the AAU stuff and everything is, you know, year-round stuff, like, you know, be a year-round baseball player.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was a baseball player, and I played in college. I was never year-round in anything like that. I played football and basketball and stuff. So I think kids need to be more well-rounded.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, we got to preach. Keep preaching that. Coach, finally, tell me about this football alignment plan that's coming up this week.
It's been crazy. You know, they first proposed 8-7. That means eight, there's 15 teams. Everett's gone independent for the first 2 years. And so they first wanted to do 8-7, then they want to do 5-5-5, make, you know, three divisions of five or an eight and a seven. And so the athletic directors decided to go 5-5-5, but certain teams, schools didn't like where they were being placed in their prospective divisions. So we flipped it around a few times. We voted on it a few times. It's been reconsidered a few times. So Wednesday is the final vote to see who's going to go where. So we're hoping it's finally over with, and we can move on and put a schedule together. But I think 5-5 is definitely the best. It brings parity, and you need teams to be competitive. You can't, you know, you really don't want teams getting pounded, you know, 40 to nothing. You want teams in,
sure,
of comparable size and ability to play against each other. And then you can cross over if you have a team that's pretty good at the bottom and they want to cross over with a team on the top. That's okay.
All right. And Coach, last thing, I lied. The last thing I want to ask you about, the schedule with Friday's weather and Monday's weather, is it all messed up this week or pretty much?
Well, you know, it's funny is I don't like to schedule for anything. I don't like scheduling games the last week of this. You know, if you have an extra week where you don't have games,
yep,
and that's where the cutoff date is, I like leaving that open usually. Even when I coached way back when I was a Marblehead baseball coach, I'd never schedule games the last week. For this reason, we're getting jammed. We're supposed to play Everett in a boy-girl doubleheader, and you know, they're playing Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, vacation week, and we're playing Wednesday. So I'm looking to the MIA, see if they give me an extension or figure out what we're going to do.
Hey, Dick, that's why you make the big bucks, right?
Well, I know. We don't make as much as everybody thinks. It's probably about 40 cents an hour, you know?
I'm well aware of that, Coach. I am well aware of that. Listen, I appreciate what you do over there, and I appreciate you taking the time tonight. And, geez, good luck, and we'll check in with you later on.
Hey, anytime. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dick. Take care.
Okay.
All right, that is Dick Newton, who's the Lynn English Athletic Director. Big job, and it ain't easy being an AD. And it's you think you got trouble shoveling, right? Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk with Frank Pagliuca, who is the St. Mary's girls hockey coach, in just a minute. So stay with us. This is MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. More to come.
Take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sauk Asian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SaukAsianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sauk Asian Sportswear is the place to go.
All right, we're back. Thank you very much. We're joined now by St. Mary's girls hockey coach Frank Pagliuca. And Frank, I think it's probably been a year since we talked to you. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you know, I say excellent, but as I was just telling the Lynn English AD, Dick Newton, I got a little sore shoulder here from out shoveling. How you guys making out?
Same thing. These last two snowstorms have, obviously dumped a lot of snow in the area in a short amount of time. So, yes, I'm pretty sore myself.
Excellent. What's it done with the schedule? Have you guys missed any games, any practices, stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, fortunately, we were usually off on Mondays, so we lucked out in that aspect of not having to make up anything. We had a couple of games, actually, early in the year, one with Archbishop Williams in December. We had to postpone that we already made up, and another one with the Winter Blue and Saugus co-op team that we already made up. So we're on pace. We have four more games left to go in the regular season, and then the tournament starts.
All right, now in the area, Beverly is off the charts right now. Beverly co-op 14-0-3, but St. Mary's 13-2-1. Do I have that right?
Actually 12-2-2.
12-2-2. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your team, maybe a highlight or two, and then we'll get into a couple of more specifics about your kids.
Yeah, I think this year we started off actually a little slow. At one point we were 2-2. So we had we lost, I think, two in a row, one to Woburn and then to Bill Ricker and Chelmsford. It took us a while to get going, to find our legs, so mm-hmm. to speak. And we've been playing some real consistent hockey lately. We're getting, scoring from more than just one or two people. The scoring has been pretty much, I think we have nine girls with 10 or more points. We're really finding a lot of depth in our forwards and our D are contributing offensively as well. And Emily Stevenson, our goalie, has really come on the second half of the year and has really played strong for us, especially the last couple games. And we're getting some real good balance from our defensemen. We're getting to play four or five a night. On some occasions, we go down to three, but we're getting a lot of people some playing time. I think that's helped.
Oh, no question. You got 70-odd goals in 16 games. And is there a particular game, Coach, where, I don't know, a signature game, a game that looked like it was going to be a challenge, but you guys played as good as you had hoped for?
Yeah, I think actually probably our loss actually was one of the signifying moments this year. We played in Beverly Gamers. They hosted Christmas term at Endicott College, and we came in there. We just had a tough game against Woburn. Now we lost. We came out very flat, and we didn't really show up consistently for 45 minutes against a tough Bill Ricker team, and we struggled through the game. I believe we lost 5-1. that was a wake-up call for us. And we know that we have to be mentally ready to go at the start of each game. We have to focus on coming out and playing a strong first period, because we have the ability to compete with anybody out there, and we also have the ability to lose to anybody out there. So it's that fine line of really getting ready and focused for the game and starting up strong. And I think since that point, we just started to build off, you know, the next win the next day against Lincoln Sudbury, and it's carried over throughout the month of January into February.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned getting a lot of kids playing and getting some ice time. What's the best thing about this team so far that you like the most?
Yeah, I think every game we're getting different people to step up, and we're not relying on one or two people to carry the load offensively or defensively. We're having contributions from a lot of different players on the team, whether it be some returning players that we have to have a lot of experience and some inexperienced players that have come in this year and have really stepped into big roles on our team and contributed. I think that's been the biggest difference. We're not relying on a couple people. We have a little bit more depth this year, and I think that's helping us throughout the course of the time of the season, so to speak.
Yeah, I got a phone ringing here. Let me just turn this thing off here. Sorry about that. Yeah, and,
no
and now the one thing about St. Mary's, and it's not, of course, it's not unique to St. Mary's, but so many of your kids are scholar athletes, and do you think that translates to learning on the ice? I mean, learning in the classroom is one thing, but learning the game, learning sports, learning to make things become a second nature. Do you think that translates with these kids?
I do. I think we always preach about having a good hockey IQ and knowing where to be and knowing your responsibilities. And it's the same thing in the classroom. You know, we have five or six kids on the principal list this quarter and another three or four on the honor roll. So it does translate, and we're seeing that. And with the experience, especially some of those inexperienced kids, have really developed confidence in identifying where they need to be and what particular forecheck or system that we're trying to accomplish. And they've really come a long way, and it's really helped. Instead of thinking about it, they're just playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the confidence, that lack of hesitation and going out there, knowing what you're supposed to do, but not thinking about it,
right.
Really helps.
All right, I want you to brag about a couple of kids, and I know that's hard because you don't want to leave anybody out, but who are some of your senior leaders? You've mentioned a couple of them, and maybe some one or two others.
Yeah, we have five seniors that, you know, have done a tremendous job in our program. Obviously, I mentioned to you Emily Stevenson. She's a, you know, just a tremendous three-sport athlete. She was an all-scholastic in soccer, and she was rock solid through the pipes for us last year and really kind of spearheaded our run to make the tournament. It took her a little while to get going this year, but she's right back to where she was last year, playing at that level and really playing well in the games. One other girl, Brittany McPherson, who was one of the goalies, this year decided she wanted to play out and has really contributed with her leadership and has seen time out on the ice as a forward this year. And our three captains have done a tremendous job. Adara Nazarian and Sarah Ryan are both forwards. They're both experienced players. Adara's been around for 3 years, and Sarah's been here since middle school. And Ashley Wojewozik, one of our other captain defensemen, she's been here since middle school. And, you know, they just bring a lot of that big game experience out on the ice, and they've been great role models for the younger kids on the team.
You know,
a couple of other,
yep, go ahead.
Two players, a couple of younger players that have really stepped up. Not younger, but in terms of grade. Maddie Hentosh is a defenseman, sophomore defenseman, and she's a real strong player, brings that strong confidence out on the ice with her, and she can play a lot of minutes out there for us, and she's done a great job for us. And Ayla Chaffee, she's a dynamic, skilled forward. She's only in seventh grade, but she plays much older than her years. She has a lot of confidence, a lot of natural ability, so she's really, you know, elevated her game since last year as well.
Coach, I can see the smile and pride in your voice. You love these guys, don't you?
Yeah, they're great kids, and, you know, it's nice to coach kids when they just want to come to the rink and play hockey, and you don't have to deal with any of the drama, the other necessary headaches. And the most important thing about these kids, all of them are, you know, good to great students, and I don't have to worry about chasing their grades. They're all, like I said, principal's list, honor roll, or near honor roll, and it's, like I said, like you said, it carries over from the classroom onto the ice. And
that's awesome.
I really enjoy this group, and we're real excited coming up here. We have a tough Quincy team on Wednesday coming in, and then looking forward, we have Austin Prep on Saturday, and that's going to be for the league title. Winner is going to take the league title on that one, so
right.
We're real excited about that opportunity. Then we go to the Hingham Showcase next week for a great tune-up before the tournament starts. It gets a lot of quality teams. We have Acton, Boxborough, and Braintree to finish off the year at that Hingham Showcase.
All right, you got a 4 o'clock start on Wednesday, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. So you got a tough schedule coming up to get ready for the tournament, but that's only going to make the kids play better.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm real excited about the tournament. We understand that once the tournament starts, all the teams go back to 0-0. So what you did in the regular season is kind of a moot point in that point, and it's just matchups, and it's a one-game season for the underclassmen, and it's a one-game career for the seniors. So we know that that tempo and that atmosphere is going to be ratcheted up from start tournament time, and we're really looking forward to seeing what happens when we get there.
Wonderful. Frank, thanks for talking with us. We'll check in with you during the tournament. Best of luck the rest of the
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Coach. Take care. That is Frank Pagliuca, who is the hockey coach at St. Mary's, St. Mary's girls hockey coach. Okay. Whew, I don't know, man. Tim, you listening? We got to check in with Nick Kukru, Tim Curran, still to go here on MSO News Sports. We will do that momentarily.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydews flavors of the fall today.
All right, Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, is with us. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty well, pretty well. How you doing?
Excellent.
Good.
I mean, the Patriots won the Super Bowl. I've been watching it all week, so it's been great.
You know, it's funny. I just mentioned, I saw the whole second half. I saw the whole game last night again, and they won again. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. You're still on the edge of your seat. I know. It was like 5 minutes left. You're like, wait a minute, they really did this?
What a lesson, though. What a lesson for people. Just never give up.
Yep.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
All right, Nick, I want to start with Gloucester hockey. Disappointing night the other night against Danvers?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, not that, Danvers, not to take anything away from Danvers, but I thought, Gloucester, they come out a little flat, and they really didn't threaten much. I shouldn't say they came out flat, actually, because they had their biggest barrage in the first minute of the game. They had four shots in the first minute, but after that, they really didn't, do much as far as quality scoring chances. It was just kind of, they were just kind of bottled up. They fell behind by three in the first, and that was kind of it.
Well, Danvers has gotten into a rhythm, too, and they're just playing some great hockey now.
Yeah, they sure have, and they didn't give Gloucester any room to operate, especially on rebounds. I don't think Gloucester had a rebound chance. There was always a Danvers defenseman right in front of the net, just sweeping the puck out of harm's way. Every time there was a rebound opportunity.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's check some other stuff out now. Not a great tournament bid for Cape Ann teams, but is there anybody still in the running?
No, yeah. Well, Manchester Essex girls basketball's cruising. They're 14-4, so they're going to be a high seed in Division III North, which is excellent to have an outstanding season. After losing their top scorer and rebounder for graduation last year, I might add. So I don't know if I saw this type of season coming from them, 14 wins after losing 2 4-year starters, but they've just been phenomenal all season long. But there's three more teams on the bubble. You know, we just talked about Gloucester Hockey needs 5 points in 4 games, which is doenable. They should beat Hamilton Wenham and Revere. So it'll come down to getting a point out of Lynn Wednesday and Linfield in the season finale. And then there's two teams with some long odds. Gloucester boys basketball needs to win its last 4 games, which is going to be tough, but they've beaten 3 of those teams, and the other team, Bishop Fenwick, they lost to by a point in overtime.
Hmm.
So all 4 of those games are winnable. They're just going to have to play well. I thought outside of Swampskits, I thought Gloucester was pretty evenly matched with Salem, Fenwick, and Winthrop, who are the other 3 opponents. So those games could go either way. And then there's Rockport Hockey, needs to win its last 2 games to get in. They should beat Neshoba, no problem, on Wednesday, but then it set up a winner-go-home game, basically a tournament game, against Shawshin on Saturday, and Shawshin beat Rockport 6-2 last month. So that's going to be, they're going to have to pull off a massive upset to get in.
Hmm. Okay. Well, any surprises so far this winter? What about, indoor track in the area?
Indoor track, I think they're doing about what we expected. Both teams, unfortunately, finished up at 3-4, but we saw, especially with Gloucester on the girls' side, that they have a lot of top-end talent. They finished below 500, but they finished 3rd in the NEC meet, which, I mean, just shows you that they just don't have a lot of depth this season, but they have a ton of quality. Both of the Rudolph sisters leading the way, Sierra and Leah. Leah won the 600 meter at the NEC, and Sierra won the high jump, and then there's also Kali Kukuru and Caitlin Marks. So you put those 4 together, those 4 would be top performers on any team, and, you know, they do enough to get them into a third-place finish.
Is Carly going to go on and run in college, do you know?
Who was that?
Carly. Is she a senior?
She is. I'm not sure yet. Yeah, she's certainly good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing what she's done over the last 4 years in Gloucester, I'd say it probably depends on where she goes to school, because she's certainly talented enough to do it.
Okay. Do we have anybody you know of in the area who's going on to compete in college in any sport that we know of?
Not that I know. I know Evan Mason is going to play college basketball. I don't think he's decided where yet.
Okay.
So we'll definitely see him playing at the next level. Hockey, I don't think we'll have any college hockey players.
Well, I know Liam Lyons is going to prep school next year, I believe, before he goes to college.
So I may stand corrected. He's certainly good enough as well. I know he's been hampered by injuries this season, but you give him a year at prep school, he should be ready to play college hockey after that.
Yeah, and give him a summer to heal.
goodness. Exactly right.
All right, Nick, we'll check in with you again. I appreciate it. And what's coming up in the paper?
Sounds good. Yeah, so actually tomorrow we're actually on the paper, we're actually talking about those 3 teams I had mentioned, all those bubble teams, just kind of looking at their chances and what they have to do. And we'll also have a preview on Gloucester track state meets coming up on Wednesday, and we'll just feature on a couple Gloucester wrestlers competing in the state tournament. A pretty good story with Chris Cassateri and Chris Jakes. Jakes has kind of worked his way up the ranks over the last 4 years, and now he's finally made it to states, and Cassateri is competing in the sport for the first time this year, and he's already gone to states.
All right, so we'll look for the Gloucester Times for that. All right, Nick, thanks. We'll check with you later.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Nick. That's Nick Kukuru, the Gloucester Times sports editor, so check out the paper tomorrow. All right, one more quick break, and we'll be back with Tim Kerms to wrap this thing up. He gets the final word. All right, we'll be back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, we're on the air now, live with Coach Tim Kerns, our sports analyst extraordinaire, super sports analyst. How you doing, Coach?
I'm well, Rick.
Very good, very good. I've been asking everybody, how are the muscles today? You out shoveling all weekend?
The wife called a few minutes ago and asked how I was feeling, and I said, achy.
Yeah, that's this weather. I call this hot tub weather.
Yeah, and I picked the wrong time to have mine out of commission.
Yeah, that's not cool. All right, I've been telling everybody all night, Coach, you get the final word, and I don't even know where to what you want to mention, so I'm going to let you pick the topic and just run with it as we got a few minutes left here.
Well, I guess the number one topic is the Patriots comeback. I mean, everybody saw it. Nobody believed it. And, you know, it's one for the ages. It definitely sets the Pats apart. It sets Tom Brady apart. It sets the organization further apart. As how to run a successful franchise.
Tim, let me. I got to ask you this because I mentioned it earlier. I watched the entire game again last night. First time I've seen the replay. I've seen the fourth quarter a couple of times, but I watched the whole game. And you know, we know that the Patriots win. But when you're watching the players on the field with this replay, they don't know they're going to win. Except I got this takeaway last night watching these guys, especially Brady, but the offense in particular. It's as though they knew that they had already won the game. They knew they had won the game. Watching this this fourth quarter in particular in the overtime, forget about it. But you watch the demeanor. I mean, they miss a second down or a third down. They get nothing out of it. Didn't bother them. Didn't bother them at all. And I don't know. Did you get that feeling like they just – you know what I'm trying to say?
No. I had the same feeling. You know, it didn't look good in the first half. And I think I was the calmest person in the room at my friend's house. There were half a dozen of us there, sitting there watching the game, and I just kept calm. You know, we've seen this before. They've gotten behind. We know they're a really good second half team, and so you had to wait and see how at least the third quarter, you know, transpired. And then, you know, that midway through the third quarter, it just started to get on a roll. And even in the first half, you know, all the players saying, "Well, we didn't panic. You know, we knew we were just off making a few plays. We just had to play a little bit better," and they did. And you're right; there was no panic. Even Brady said, "You know, we didn't panic. You know, we knew what we had to do. We had to execute. We just had to execute," and they did. And you know, you could see Atlanta start going to looking at each other, going, "What the hell is happening here?" And they started to believe that the Patriots were going to win, even though they were still leading the game.
Yeah,
because they just knew how the Patriots tended to do things, and they began to crumble. I mean, the coaching staff, you know, they went brain dead. You know, they totally misplayed the end of the game with an opportunity to win it, you know, and they put Ryan in a position to make mistakes and let the Patriots make plays, and they did. The Patriots, for the most part, 90% of the situations given to them, will make plays either on offense or defense that allows them to get the winning points.
Tim, what does this tell you about? This is the reason cliches become cliches. I think when teams do what the Patriots have done, but what does this tell you about the organization? And we'll just stay with the football team of the personnel. What does this tell you about teamwork? What does it tell you about guys? No matter what their background is, on how they work together, because the one thing I heard constantly when they were mic'd is, "Love you, bro. I love you, bro." But more than that, you know, these guys, they're in a violent sport. So what does this tell you, this kind of a game, or does it tell you anything?
Well, I think it's the belief in Bill Belichick. It's the belief in his system. It's the belief in the coaching staff that he has surrounded himself with, and the players that they've brought onto that team. You know, you look at the team and you go play with a player down the Patriots roster and against a lot of other teams' rosters, and there'd be more players from other teams that people would probably pick before they pick the Patriots players, with the exception of probably a handful. And yet these guys continually go out and they win the division and they win the conference and they've gotten to more Super Bowls than anybody else. And it's because Bill tends to draft, and you're always going to make a mistake here along the way, will draft players who he believes will fit the system, who will come in and work hard and do what they're asked to do. Basically, as he says, do your job. You know, there have been a few occasions where he's brought some people in hoping that they can add something, and they haven't, but he lets go of them really quickly. He doesn't hang on to them. He doesn't want them to become, you know, bad apples. He doesn't let them ruin the, you know, ruin the stew. He gets rid of them. If you can't add, you can't play here. And that's just how it goes.
And it's just the level of consistency that they have built within that organization, that players come here and they go, I want to be here because I want to win. You know, how did Bennett and Hogan and Long feel, you know, now kind of making that decision to come here and maybe not get as much as they could have gotten somewhere else, but come in for the opportunity to win? And then they end up with a Super Bowl ring in their first year after 8-9 years in the league of you know, taking a beating every Sunday, you know, and all the practices you go through and you get nothing. You don't get a sniff of the playoffs. And then you make a decision and you play hard, and, you know, Belichick has his eyes everywhere, and he knows who's out there. And he brings these guys in, he gives them an opportunity and says, here's what you got to do. And they do it because they believe in what the Patriots have done, because they've seen what they've done. And then they end up at the top of the mountain after one season.
I know. It's just and then add to that, what, four free agent starters in the Super Bowl? Four free agent starters? I mean, these guys, not free agent, but undrafted free agents.
Right, yeah. it's recognizing the quality of the player and not that dynamic skill that, you know, sets an individual apart, but just the player's ability to be solid. That's a good Bill likes
well,
solid
know,
ball players.
I asked
smart ball players.
I asked Paul Ingram, Coach Ingram, about Belichick and what he thought of him, and he said, in his opinion. And this is funny because, remember, Nitwit Radio was so against us the last few years, you know, about Belichick's general manager's ability in assessing talent and picking players in the draft. Paul Ingram said his greatest, in his opinion, the greatest asset Belichick has is his ability to recognize talent.
Right. Yeah, and again, it's not that superstar collegian that he wants to. That guy comes with an ego, you know, and a better than now attitude. Bill wants the guy that's played team ball for 3 or 4 years. And if you notice, he doesn't take many underclassmen. He takes the junior guy. He takes the senior guy who has spent time within a system and contributing to that system.
Yep.
There's a maturity level that they bring out of college that they bring to camp, and an appreciation for playing the game. And I think that's a big difference in the Patriots squads.
Well, it was a thing to behold, wasn't it? Isn't that fun? We're still talking about it a week and a half later.
Oh, yeah. You know, and, you know, you move from that, and the Celts continue to play well. Unfortunately, you know, their play has been dwarfed by the Fats playoff run. The Red Sox trailer went to Florida, and nobody cared. and now once the Patriots... Well, now that the pick is done, we're still talking about them before we talk Red Sox, before we talk Bruins, before we talk South, before we talk Revolution.
Opening day, I can see Brady walking into Fenway Park with a number 6 on his chest, right?
The Blitz for 6. They've already patented or copyrighted the saying.
What's it called?
It's now Blitz for 6.
Blitz for 6. Okay. All right. Well, yeah, Michael Jordan, here we come. All right, Coach. I'm not sure about next week because it's a holiday, but we'll get together soon.
All right, Rick. Thanks
all right.
For calling.
All right, Tim. Go take a hot tub or whatever. All right. Talk to you later. Talk to you later, Coach. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, that is Tim Kearns, our sports analyst here on MSO News Sports. And that's it for North Shore Sports Night. Appreciate you being with me. Thanks to Bill Newell for all his help, as always, the voice of the North Shore. And thanks to our guest tonight, to John Gugliotti, who is the North Reading boys hockey coach, Frank Pagliuca, the St. Mary's girls hockey coach, Dick Newton, the Lynn English athletic director, and to Gloucester sports editor Nick Kukrut, of course, to our own sports analyst Tim Kearns. Appreciate it. Thank you, MSO News Sports. @gmail.com. That's how to get a hold of us, msonewsports@gmail.com. I'm Rick Moore. On behalf of all those guys, Bill Newell, Bill Proposky, Tim Kearns, and myself, take care. And don't do too much shoveling. Sun should come out tomorrow.